the Access Baseball Podcast, covering all the bases of high school and college baseball. And now here's your host, Vinny Massana.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast. I haven't had one recently because, frankly, there hadn't been too much news for a very long time, but now it looks like things are back. Governor Cuomo announced last week that with the addition of phase four, that non-contact, low-risk sports, such as baseball and softball, will be allowed to resume on July 6th. And additionally, out here in Southampton, the Mayor Warren announced last week that he was giving his permission to start those same sports last week. So unless anybody wanted to come out to Southampton, everybody else is pretty much waiting until July 6th. And that moment could not come soon enough. And parallel to that, everybody was sitting on pins and needles waiting for the announcement of Major League Baseball to come back. I know I was. I mean, the season was supposed to start March 26th. I mean, for a pretty long time, we were just waiting to hear that it was safe enough or that they had a plan in place. We heard about their Arizona bubble plan and then their three-city hub plan with Arizona, Texas, and Florida. And I think a lot of people like myself were, you know, hoping for something like that to happen because it seemed like it was logistical and it was safe to have the season take place in a sequestered area where it was high temperature, low humidity, whatever. I mean, look, we're not infectious disease doctors, but the funny thing is that even the infectious disease doctors turned out to be wrong. I mean, if you guys listen to my live stream, I actually did two of them, and each time the doctor said that he expects the numbers to go down in the summertime, and that's why he thought it was low, and the numbers were low for a pretty long time in states like Arizona, Texas, and Florida, and Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, and now here we go. Last week, the numbers have skyrocketed. So, I mean, I guess it just goes to show, you know, that's why they call this a novel coronavirus, that they really don't know for a fact what's going on. And it turned out to be a blessing because had they started the baseball season under that scenario, you know, in an Arizona or Texas or Florida environment, and the numbers skyrocketed, who knows what would have happened. I mean, maybe the disease runs rampant in a clubhouse, and that's not to say that it won't happen still. I mean, I think that's what is nerve-wracking about this. I think if we were sitting here on June 30th and saying, all right, we went through hell, March, April, even May to some extent was awful, we lost a ton of lives, but we're on the other side of it, I think we would feel a lot better, a lot optimistic. Right now, we're saying to ourselves, this could happen at any moment, that the season could, that the plug could get pulled. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, like I said, I want the season to happen. It's June 30th. The spring training 2.0 is supposed to start tomorrow. Teams in their home stadiums. And then with an opening day of July 23rd with the Yankees visiting the reigning World Series champ Washington Nationals. And that will be a good one. Gerrit Cole versus Max Scherzer. I mean, that's what we want. We want high-intensity baseball, even if there's not going to be fans in the stands and there's not going to be high fives and there's not going to be pitchers hitting. I mean, it's baseball still. And I think a lot of diehard fans like myself will take anything we can get. And right now we're looking at a 60-game truncated season. We're looking at universal DH. We're looking at every extra inning start with a runner on second base. You know, we're looking at the potential that the World Series might not even occur. So it's hard to be fully excited, but the fact that there's a plan in place, I mean, that's more than we can say a couple weeks ago when they were going back and forth. I mean, think about things on June 17th when John Heyman had tweeted that they were on the verge of an agreement between the MLBPA and the owners. And then an hour later, we're seeing no confirmed reports from anybody else. And I know as a reporter myself, I'm thinking, all right, that's not a good sign. If nobody else can confirm this, they're not tweeting because they don't have confirmation on it. Sure enough, MLBPA tweets that the reports were false and that Heyman had either gotten erroneous information or got it from a source that was jumping the gun. So things were looking very bleak on that day, and you know, listening to some podcasts, there were some people in the know saying that they didn't think there was any way that the owners were going to bend, that they were furious, livid, I think was the word they used, that players felt slighted and they weren't going to work for free. So the fact that we're even here right now is a step in the right direction. But again, there's very little reason to be completely optimistic that a season will go on. You think about the risk involved, you know, they're getting on planes, they're traveling, and that's just with the team. What about all the stuff that they might be doing when they're not around the team? You know, you're putting a lot of faith into, in many cases, 25, 30-year-old guys that they want to go out, they want to have fun during the season. It's a summertime, you know, it's an extension of society. There's people, you're seeing them in the bars in New Jersey right now. We saw it last month in Kansas, where people were, or in Missouri rather, at the Ozark Lake. Like, it's packed because people are young and they want to go out. So you're putting a lot of trust into them, and that's the best case scenario, that they're following the guidelines, put in place social distancing, the no spitting, the no high-fiving, the no contact, the everything that they have in place. You know, in best case scenario, it's going to be tough, and worst case scenario, this can be a disaster. And the other thing is, when you look back to March, a lot of the information that had came out about it was that, all right, it's only affecting older people and the young people are going to be fine. And that was the first thing that we heard. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's okay, I won't get it. And then it was, well, if you're in good, you could get it if you're young, but only if you have pre-existing conditions or if you have asthma or diabetic. And then it, you know, a little bit more of the population started to get nervous. Now it was just the people that were in good shape and were young were not at risk. And then we saw Novak Djokovic and Kevin Durant and yesterday Spencer Dinwiddie. And it's just like, all right, so who is safe from this then? And then we're hearing conflicting reports about what the long-term effects are. You know, if you're asymptomatic, does that mean it just passes and it's like the flu? Or do you get long-term scarring on your lungs? So, and I hate to come across sounding like I'm a doctor, I'm not, but this is just listening to people. This is what they're saying, that, you know, it could pose a risk. So I know there's not many people that are fully confident about pulling this season off. I really, really hope that they do, because, I mean, what is a year without baseball? I don't want to live in that world, honestly. And with all that's going on in the world right now, I think we could definitely use a positive distraction, a positive outlet. And of course, it helps the economy. A lot of people are spending money going to games or, you know, buying jerseys, and people are working in stadiums. So there's a lot of money that is generated from professional sports happening. And then, you know, just the thought of a college football season, I mean, I can't imagine how they're going to pull that off when you have unpaid athletes. You're telling them to go to school. There's, you know, 100,000 people in the stands, or even if there's just 50 players on a sideline, they're all in proximity to each other. So, I don't know. I love sports, and just part of me is saying, let's just wait it out until, you know, the new year, when we're probably going to have a vaccine or more information on treatment. But I don't know. It's just catches you between a rock and a hard place when you see the numbers spiking up. But at the same time, I know that I need baseball and I need professional sports, just like the rest of the people out there. But not to be all over dramatic, I mean, the good news is that we're going to have our first return to baseball next week. Looking at the schedule now, I'm very, very glad that the town of Brookhaven stepped up. Shout out to Sal Mignano for hosting they're going to call it the Town of Brookhaven Varsity Baseball Tournament, 2020 Varsity Baseball Tournament. It's going to kick off on July 8th, actually, at Medford Complex and Mauritius Complex. There's 36 teams in this tournament, so I think it's going to be really enjoyable. It's not like it's just middle-of-the-road teams either. I mean, you're talking about all the teams that were in the Final Four last year. You know, Connecticut won the Class AA championship. They beat Ward Melville, and then also West Islip is in it, Longwood, Comac, who was in the semifinals, Hills East, another great team, Lindenhurst. And then the Class A teams, I mean, you got Sayville, who won it all. You got Shoreham Wading Rivers in it. And then Santa Maritza is in it, the reigning undefeated champs, and have a 41-game winning streak. So it's really cool that they were able to get, you know, not just teams to sign up, but, you know, the top teams. And they have it segmented into big school, small school, because the last thing you want is to have, you know, Pearson or Matatuck have to go up against a double-A powerhouse. I just don't think it would be fair to either one. I mean, you want to have good competition. And, you know, looking at the – here's another division, the Varsity Coastal Blue. You got Shoreham Wading River going up against ESM the first game. Islip versus Bayport Blue Point, Hopog versus Islip, then Shoreham Wading River versus Hopog. And then it's all going to come down to Sunday, July 12th. You're going to have the semifinals at two semifinal games at 9 a.m. at Mariches. And they're going to have the finals are going to be all at 11:45 on fields 1, 2, and 3. So we'll be able to watch six teams. That's the Coastal White, the Atlantic, and the Coastal Blue will have finals all together. So, I mean, they probably could have even fleshed it out even longer and had an one overall champion. But, I mean, if it's a matter of school size, there's really no sense, because it also kind of mirrors the fact that there's a double A and A and a B champion. So I respect that. I think it's going to be good. I mean, if you guys want to if you want to look back at our season previews, you can get prepared for some of the teams involved. You know, we got all these powerhouse teams. So I think it's going to be great. So that's going to be next week. So this will be the last week, thank God, without baseball coverage. We're also going to have the East Coast Youth is going to start up on the 6th with their regular season. And then you have the Blue Chip Collegiate League, and you have the Boys of Summer. Boys of Summer is also going to have a varsity division, similar to a high school season, which I think is really cool. I'm not sure how many teams are in that. I could pull up the schedule now. In their varsity division, let's see. We got All right, here we go. Suffolk Varsity Division. Let's see. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, so there's a decent amount of teams. That's going to kick off on July 6th, too. It looks like they're going by just their mascot names, not their school names. So CHSAA, I'm assuming, is I don't know, probably Center Reach. H2W is Ward Melville. Wolverines, Newfields. The Moradores are Bayshore. The Lions are Newfield. Let's see who else. Yeah, and that goes all the way up until August 5th. So they're using Baseball Heaven, Brentwood, and Eisenhower, which makes sense because they can't use any of the high schools since they're closed. And then the Nassau division of it, they got Belmore, Garden City, Mepham, Calhoun, and MacArthur. So a little smaller set of teams there. And then they still have they have the college division, which is the travel teams. So that's good. And then they have a Blue Chip is going to have a college league as well, which will be good because all the local kids that were going away to play in other leagues out of state are all back. So, you know, it'll be a who's who of some of the top players over the last few years. Let me see what else I wanted to go over here. So we have my tournament, which will be more of a showcase. That's going to be July 23rd, 24th, and 25th at Mariches Complex. Looking forward to that. We got a big turnout. Obviously, the big news was NCAA, for whatever reason, deciding that they weren't going to allow Division I schools to recruit until August 31st, which is completely insane to me. I mean, NCAA has always been about preventing people from making money. And, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, if it's about COVID-19, I get it. But they have to understand then that you can't lock these people in their homes. If you want to put them under a stay-at-home order too, be my guest. But you can't just tell them that they can't recruit, because at the end of the day, guess what these schools need to do? They need to recruit. And guess what players are looking to do? They're looking to get recruited. And look what travel organizations exist for, to get their kids exposure. So to just put an arbitrary date in place and to say that you can't have contact with Division I schools, to me, makes no sense. But yet, Division II is allowed to see them on campus, just not off campus. And then Division III has no rules. They're allowed to recruit and they're allowed to have camps on campus. So I don't know why there's not even a double standard there, a triple standard there. And again, you know, if you guys remember back when I tried to have my first Battle of the Border in 2016, and I wanted it to be a college all-star game, and they said that you would lose eligibility if you participate in a third-party all-star game, which makes no sense, obviously, because there's kids that play in summer leagues, right? They play in all-star games, a Cape Cod all-star game, but yet if a company like myself try to do all-star game, you know, they're not allowed to participate next year. So I don't know. They've never made sense. They're not consistent on their rules at all. But whatever, we're going to have the tournament. The kids need to play, and we'll have Division III schools there. So I'll try to bring back some podcasts. I mean, we did about 50 live streams on Instagram Live. Maybe I'll bring back the podcast throughout the season. But in any event, just wanted to touch base with everybody today. And thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast.